Hey, what's up, everybody? I am Johnny Christ, and this is Drinks with Johnny Live. Thank you so much for checking out the show. And thank you to all those frontliners, essentials workers out there, as always, doing the best to keep us healthy, safe, and well-fed in these uncertain times. Thank you all so much for that. Today, I'm exceptionally excited. I've got James Cassells. He's on the line here in a second, but before I get there, I also wanted to thank Sweet Drop. That is a essential CBD oil. This thing is, you know, it's not there to alter your brain or anything like that. This is all natural. It comes from a great organic farm up out of Oregon. And yeah, it's Sweet Drop. And I'm gonna start the show off with this because, you know, it just makes me feel a little better. Now, a lot of people are gonna say CBD is supposed to alter or make you feel a certain way or anything like that, but it's really just helping keep the receptors in your brain that help process food firing on all cylinders. And that's what Sweet Drop's here to do. And if you head over to sweetdrop.com right now and put in promo code DRINKSWITHJOHNNY, you're gonna get 20% off your order. I think that's a pretty good deal. I think everyone can agree. They got some great flavors over there. I promise it's a good product. Otherwise, I wouldn't put it out there. It's not like I really need to. Anyways, that's not here nor there. I'm gonna have a beer on that one. And we're just gonna get into it. I'm gonna bring in James right now. You all know him as the drummer from Asking Alexandria. It is James Cassells. How you doing today, man?
Hello, Johnny. How you doing, mate?
I'm good. It's just great to see you again, man.
Likewise, man. Likewise. It's been a hot minute.
I know. When was the last time we were on tour together? It was like 2014 or something like that.
Probably Mayhem Festival.
Yeah, I think that was a mayhem of a festival, if I will. What are you drinking on right there?
Oh, it's just, I don't know, it's beer, but it's in a koozie.
Okay. Cassell's koozie. I like that.
It's from my wedding. So
that's awesome.
We had koozies made for us and our guests, and I've just kept them because.
When did you get married? You got. It wasn't that long ago, was it?
2018.
Okay, so 2 years.
In April.
So you guys just had your 2 year anniversary. Congratulations. Yep. Mm-hmm. 2 year anniversary under quarantine. What was that like?
I mean, it was. We spent it drinking beers poolside, which was pretty tight.
that's not terrible.
You know, there was less people there, but it was kind of like the same way we got married. So
yeah,
not too shabby.
All right, man. Is everyone, first of all, before we go any further, I just want to make sure everyone's healthy and safe in your camp. Everyone's doing good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, completely. Yeah, everyone's doing great, man. Everyone's doing great. Just you know, making the best of a shit situation, I suppose.
Yeah, man. I mean, you guys just put a record out right in the midst of all this. You're not going to be able to tour for a minute. I mean, what's going to be the plan here? I mean, we'll get into the record a little bit more because it's awesome.
Well, thank you. I mean, I was actually looking on your page earlier, and someone was saying that, like, oh, they were supposed to be playing in Silver Springs tonight, like, because we had a tour booked and everything, and
yeah,
it sort of hit home a bit. It's like, damn, you know, it's like we aren't on tour. We aren't, you know, able to show the world the record in every way that we wanted. But at the same time, though, I'm still super like glad and excited to give the world some new music. You know, it's like,
yeah,
this is bad news. Like,
yeah, I mean, everyone's looking for content right now. That's why I started going live with the show. I don't know how familiar you are with the show. We've been just started doing weekly podcasts just in February, and then shit started hitting the fan. I was like, well, I'm kind of sitting around with all this equipment that I just got for podcasting. I'm going to use it to go live. And that's kind of where this all started. When I hit you up, that was like this morning. I was like, hey, dude, can you be on the show tonight? And then he threw it all together real quick.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that.
The good thing is we're all in quarantine together, so
yeah,
it's not like
well,
else are we
well
gonna
James,
do
I know you ain't got nothing better to do tonight. So. Well, one of the things, let's have some virtual drinks. It would be the same. Just pretend the cameras aren't here. It'd be the same anyway. So I, through our conversation earlier on today, was trying to get you to make a drink with me. I wasn't sure if you're gonna have the ingredients. So I was like, hey, do you know how to make a last word? And you were like, this is my favorite drink of all time when I go out to a bar. I don't know how to make it myself, but yeah. And I figured it, a couple of ingredients are going to be a little hard to come by at a, on a day's notice. So we'll go through those, but you just shared a picture with me of you and your wife and your mates.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to, it's not going to be able to come out. Are we, which, like, it's just,
can we get that? Really, we can get that a little bit. You can see what's going on.
Yeah. Well, that's me, my wife, Sam and Ben. And we're in a bar in England back in like 2012 called the Blind Swine. It was a gin bar in York, England. It was like our stomping ground back in the day. And that was the place where my love for The Last Word really flourished and like came into, you know, the world. And we're all actually drinking it in that photo.
It's a fun, it's a fucking fantastic drink. I just got introduced to it last November. By a very good friend of mine. It was like a birthday gift. He's like, I'm going to come over and show you how to make this. And I was like, okay. He showed me how to make it. I found it in my old speakeasy book and learned a little bit about where it came from. I mean, it's literally from the old speaky times of making drinks. And it's a, it's a classic. It's simple in many respects, but a little hard to come by a couple of the ingredients. We're just going to go through it right now. Brandon's going to run my graphic. I'm going to show you all how to make The Last Word. All right, so it's going to be equal parts of everything you see over here. We're going to start off some gin, some chartreuse, green chartreuse, and Lichardo Marciano liqueur with a little bit of fresh squeezed lime juice. It's all going to be pretty much equal parts. You're going to drop it into here, so let's go through it. Now, after you see this, James, you're going to be able to go, oh, I can make one of those at my own house. Like that, this is going to be awesome.
You're gonna get chartreuse is the bit that's difficult to find.
Yeah, it's a little difficult to find. I admit that, but it is key. It is you as someone who's had it, you know, this is something that's very key to it. So we're gonna start off with like a shot or an ounce and a half of gin, whatever gin you prefer. I'm using Stillworks Distillery here in Huntington Beach. Local guys have hooked us up with some drinks.
Local gin.
Yeah, local gin. I never thought I'd be able to say that today. I've lived in Huntington Beach my entire life. Never once that I thought I'd say, oh, I'm going to throw in some local gin to my drink. So you're going to move on to, like I said, the chartreuse. It's important you get the green stuff for this drink. And again, about an ounce and a half. Drop that in.
We refer to chartreuse as like the evil twin of Sambuca.
Yeah, no, it totally like, is. So that's something that a lot of people don't realize. Sometimes to really get you going, like you think, oh, it's just a liqueur, it's something like that. No, it's 55% alcohol. We went from a gin that was only about 45%, which is a standard gin, and upped it 10% for another equal part of booze. So that's where this thing gets a little boozy and gets you going. I mean, nothing is low on this. The Lichardo Marciano liqueur is 32%. So you're not putting anything in this that isn't higher than a 30% alcohol. So it'll get you there. You only need one or two, I promise. So you're gonna add another ounce and a half of that. And lastly, your fresh squeezed lime juice. I'm just gonna, I mean, it's about a shot glass. It's about, if you have two limes, squeeze them out. It's about what you're gonna get. If they're a little juicy, you make it a little extra. No harm, no foul. And then we're gonna get our ice. First, we're going to chill the glass. I'm gonna show you a little trick here, James. If you don't have a chilled ice in a bind, just take your glass. You're gonna throw the ice right in it, and then you're gonna get it chilled like this. Just swish around that ice and you're going to chill your glass. You usually want like a cocktail glass like this, some kind of highball, martini glass of some kind, swish it around. Really get it going, get that glass chilling.
Dude, the next time
we get back on the road together, like sometime down the line when shit gets normal, I promise you I'm going to make one of these for you, one of our tour buses.
I can't wait.
And then you're going to put that ice and administer that into your mix. Your mixing glass, and here we go. We're gonna shake vigorously. And then we're just going to pour that out into your glass. Oh, yeah. Make a little mess of it. It's okay.
Anytime you could lose a bit and still, you can still get the desired effect.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, the whole thing of shaking, if you're going to shake something, if you want to bruise the alcohol. That's not always the case in a martini, but in this one, you actually want to bruise it. So keep shaking it while you're pouring it out. You just finish off with the lime wedge from some of the limes you got earlier. There you have it. The last word. Good night.
Yes.
I mean,
I can taste it. I can taste it digitally. I'm envious. I finished off the last of my gin.
Oh no!
A few weeks ago. Yeah.
We gotta have to send that back out.
I know, right? It was Hendrix gin. So it was I know you got a bottle back there. I like that. I like Hendrix.
Another time we're gonna have to have you down here proper in Huntington Beach. Or you could sit at the bar and do this. The virtual is great, don't get me wrong, but it's not the same. Yeah. I can't get you good and drunk and send you on your way, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So James, you got like A House on Fire is out right now. It just came out on Friday. Big congrats on this new record, man.
Thank you.
It's a barn burner right off the beginning. I mean, right off the beginning, you get like 4 songs right in a row, pure energy, rock and roll anthems. Kind of picking up where you guys left off on your last self-titled record, maybe even taking it a step further. What was some of your inspirations? We'll get through the cliche questions first, and then we'll take a deeper dive. How about that?
Yeah, I think the inspiration that I've said this to a few people is like, I feel like it's mainly like your state of mind. You know, I feel like speaking to another musician, you can feel me on this, but. Really, it's your inspiration is where you're at as a person, you know, like, are you in a place in your life that is like absolute turmoil, that is like the worst spot or the best spot, or the, you know, that has such a massive effect.
That could be a day-to-day thing, right? I mean, one day it could be super, super high energy, happy. The next day you're like, I don't even want to be here anymore. What the fuck's going on? It can move a lot. And for me, and you said, like, as a musician, you have to be ready to take that inspiration from everything around you. You need to be cognizant of the surrounding world of your world and just take from pieces of that.
Yeah. And I think like that's what we have done, you know, like there is personal stories. There is like global things. There is like, it's like a sort of, and every sort of like, how are we at? Where are we at? You know, like, and that's, I think that was a real big inspiration. It wasn't so much like we need to make music that sounds like this, or we need to make music that invokes this. It is, how do we feel? And let's like put that on the page, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like that was a big thing. And that's kind of always been a thing for us in Askin, but, this time around, I think it was really apparent. And the fact that we just said, fuck it, and we released all 15 tracks that we had recorded and mixed and everything. We were just like, you know, here you are, have the whole shebang.
Yeah, that was a cool thing too. Because, you know, as our mutual friend Dione, who's your guys' manager, our tour manager in Avenged Sevenfold, great dude. I'd been talking to him back and forth about, when's this Askin record coming out? He's like, man, we're trying to figure that out now. Things have changed a little bit. We had this whole thing lined up of how we're gonna do things, and then, you know, the pandemic hits, and we kind of have to shift everything. And then next thing I know, I was texting back and forth with him, and he's like, oh yeah, album's coming out this weekend. I was like, oh yeah. Shit.
we were just like, we spoke briefly earlier about this, but it's like. The world needs stuff. It needs good news. It needs music. It needs something to look forward to and something to be like, this is awesome. You know, it doesn't. I think like a lot of artists and a lot of people and bands and everyone really is sort of like, oh shit, we need to like pause. Like everything is on pause right now, and then when stuff starts to go back to normal, that's when we hit play again. I think that's bullshit, dude. Like, at the end of the day, life is still going on.
Yeah.
You know, like people are still like doing, you know, this is, you can't just stop everything, you know? And then we were like, you know, this is, you know, this is the right time.
That's what it is. And then when you look back on this record, when everything has gone back to a sense of normalcy, you'll be like, yeah, we put that record out at the time we wanted to. And now, you know, hopefully it's sooner than later you guys get to tour, you know, and concerts start to happen again.
Yeah. No, I mean, dude, I hope for you know, both our bands, man. I mean, yeah. I know we're all itching to get out on the road, dude. You know, like it's...
Well, you probably more than us because you got a new record out, right? Like, we don't have a new record out. When we've been I have been home for longer. I mean, I've been home since 2018 summer. So I think you guys came out with the self-titled is 2018, right? Or is it 2017?
2017, I think, actually.
Yeah.
It was the end. It was the end of 2017, which again, we were told, no, don't release it in December. And we were like, fuck it.
Yeah. If that's what you feel, that's what you got to do. It looks like by the judging behind you there too, you can tell that it's worked out pretty well for you with a couple of gold records.
There's
a couple of records back there. Dude, I've been watching you guys grow for a long time now. Like, I think the last tour we were probably on was like Mayhem, like 14 or 15, but I think the first one was earlier than that even, another festival run that we did together.
I think the first one was, I want to say 2012?
Yeah, I think that sounds right. That sounds right, because I feel like that's when we first crossed paths and like realized that you guys were a little like-minded in a way. Reminded us of ourselves a little younger. Not too much younger, I'm not that much older. Everyone just relax, okay?
Calm down.
No one needs to know my real age, all right. We crossed paths and got to know you guys and befriended you guys. It was a bit awesome relationship. One of the things that I heard though was, and I don't know if I saw firsthand, but I got asked the question, who's the guy that's staying up the latest in the band and asking? Who's the guy in the front lounge of the bus after everyone's gone to bed about 3 a.m. still partying?
It's definitely not my ask, because if I've had too much to drink, I'll just fall right asleep.
That's not what I heard, James.
Unless, there was definitely extracurricular back in the day.
Maybe this was all back in the day. This was obviously pre your wife. This is obviously
it was dandy. well back I think even on some of the tours we did with you, we had two buses and me and Ben were forced onto one bus because we would you know maybe be loud and keep shit going for longer than needed I think as time's gone on we've tried to tone down the antics a bit, you know.
So have we. It actually just kind of naturally happens. Naturally happen. The antics start to calm down a little bit, that's for sure. Now, we don't need to harp on that too much, but one of the things I do remember was the last tour was we did together on Mayhem. You guys had a nice little writing studio set up in one of the back of the buses, and that was cool. It was like, oh, this is rad. They're taking the time to write while they're on the road, which was really cool for us to see, because we don't ever do that. We do cycle, and then we stop, we take a couple months off, and then we get to writing, and that's kind of always been the way we've done it. Have you guys continued on that? Do you guys do a lot of writing on the road still?
It's, I think, you know, we're just one of those groups that, if we're writing, which is kind of all the time, we have to get ideas down then and there, you know, and we do continuously like and enjoy making music, you know. So if we have the opportunity to write, we will write, you know.
Yeah, you just gotta keep it going. That's rad. I mean, I really appreciate that approach. I don't know that it'd work for us, but I appreciate the approach. Everyone has a different process, as I know, as you know, meeting everybody around the world. So what's your process specifically to yourself? What's when you're putting together, let's say, a drum part or a riff or whatever it is that you're bringing to the table, what is James like to start with?
Oh, honestly, it can be as basic as just humming and singing some random bullshit into my phone and just like texting it over to Ben, or, you know, like it can be something so basic as long as it invokes something that will lead to something, like it's the right thing. If that, you know what I mean? If that makes sense.
No, I think
nowadays,
I
nowadays it's getting it's got a little bit better. Like now we all live so close together. Like all of us, with the exception of Danny. Danny still lives over on the East Coast, but the rest of the band, we're actually all living in Arizona.
Yeah.
Really close to one another. So it is as simple as like a phone call and a very short car ride, and then we can be all together. So writing and everything has actually got a lot easier.
That's
right. The creation has become easier. Because before I was living in Austin and, I call off Ben Friday night at who knows what time. You need to come and write music with me. And then I'd have to try and I'd probably call Dione and be like, hey, dude. I need to go over there and write some music. And he'd be like, fuck you guys.
We have to figure it out.
We'd make it happen. But now the creation and the recording and everything's just very streamlined, dude. And super simple, you know.
When did you guys all move from across the pond? Like, you guys were all...
That was pretty much instantaneously, man.
Really?
Like, the picture that I showed you back all those years ago, like that was probably 8-9 years ago. Even then, technically we still lived in the States. We were just going back for like Christmases and certain parts of the year to see our family. But we sort of did it straight away. That was the idea. It was like the only way to make it in the music business is to immerse yourself in it fully, and that is the only thing that matters. And whether that is you living in one country or another, or you living together, or you quitting jobs and school or whatever it is, it's all in. It's like you're pushing all your chips in, and it's go.
Yeah, I mean that's the philosophy we live by as well, individually and as a band. You just gotta go for it. I love that. Going back to the success that you guys have had over the years and getting this record out, this is such a good record. I'll go back to it again. The production value is awesome. It's different sounding to me than even the last ones, especially from a production value. Did you guys use the same producer, or what was who produced this record?
We've used our friend Matt Good. He's a really awesome producer. Used to be in a band called From First to Last.
Yep.
Great musician, great producer, and he's done our last two records now. So he did our self-titled and Like a House on Fire. And he also lives in Arizona, so it's just everything, it's super streamlined.
That's rad. How long did it take to make this record then?
We've been making, we finished with the self-titled, and then we already had, a few months later, we already had some tracks started,
Oh, yeah.
So certain tracks that could be even a few years old.
And they made it through the rest of the writing process?
They made it, but they've changed dramatically.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure. I can imagine. And I wonder, I imagine a lot of these songs that have a certain, lack of better term, new age kind of production value to them. They seem almost pop R&B with a rock feel to it. And you still have this English rock blues that seems to be still prominent even in these songs, the production is kind of this great new style that I think comes off great. I mean, how do you feel about it as a drummer? Because you can hear a lot of the tones in there aren't completely natural, obviously, for some of those parts. So as a drummer, how did that come about?
Well, the thing is, with there's obviously synthetic parts to it, just like there always has been with Asking. But my parts that I actually recorded, they're the most real that they've ever been. Know what I mean? Like we've worked really hard to make these drum tones sound awesome, and it's sort of like...
It definitely sounds warm. It keeps that warm tone of an actual wood kit.
We want it to have that mixture of that rock that that very can be fuzzy, can be a little bit distorted, that rock element to it, but also with that very quite sharp angular sort of synthetic sounds, because in Asking we've always had that, back in the day we had whole synth breaks and stuff and whole
absolutely
portions of the track that were literally just dedicated to synthetic sounds. So we like to keep that going, but just use it in a different way.
Yeah, you know, and I like that. It's different. Also, just more specifically for your drumming, I know it's similar to the last record, but maybe even more groove-oriented. As a drummer, do you feel like you, over the years, have focused more heavily on the pocket, on the groove, on the taste of on the tasty parts of your drum fills? Or, I mean, what has been your inspiration specifically as a drummer over the years and your evolution?
I think honestly, it has, you know, it's more like back in the day, you know, it was about like how fast you could play and how much double bass you could put in. And, you know, like, I'm just going to use this like crazy loud china and it's going to be like the craziest heavy thing ever, you know.
Watch
and
how fast my hands like, and feet can go.
I'm just going to do a blast beat.
How many hits could I do in this one bar?
Yeah, and I'm just going to go. It's like, that shit's cool. Don't get me wrong. It's really cool.
Absolutely.
But like, I feel like more so it's just playing for the song, you know. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to write songs that like, we have like, we've always toyed with the idea of ballads and like slower, like, you know, meaningful songs. That's something we've always liked to do, even when we were like straight metalcore, you know?
Dude, the one, I Don't Need You, sorry, I had to look at the track names. I mean, the album did just come out Friday. Forgive me if I don't know all the track names off the top.
It's fine. There's 15 of them. There's a few.
Yeah, I Don't Need You, the first ballad, I guess if you want to call it a ballad. It's not a straightforward ballad, obviously. But
you get the idea of it's like a slower, meaningful, like it's a
that's
a
gonna bit bluesy, be bit country, if it isn't already, while we're having this conversation, I truly believe that's gonna be a radio hit. I mean, that's
thank you.
That thing's fucking awesome. I love that you brought in what's her name, Gracie Grundy.
Grace Grundy, yeah.
Yeah. She's got a great voice. How did you guys find her? How did you guys get together with her?
So we've been like watching her and like been a fan of hers for a minute now. And the funny thing, Ben actually reached out to her, right? And she's been a fan of ours for a long time as well.
Cool.
Like, she actually was at one of our, when we filmed the live DVD at Brixton Academy in London back in 2013.
Place.
Yeah, great venue, you know, legendary. It's the fucking, you know. Everybody, if it's not an arena, that is the place in London.
Yeah, everyone who's come through has had to play that.
You've done a few Brixtons.
Yeah.
And she was actually at that show.
Right.
And as a fan, before she really started, you know, her vocal career, you know. And so it just sort of, everything clicked and it made so much sense, man.
Yeah.
Like, it all felt like together. And then we had a flyover and she recorded her parts and it just, her voice and Danny's just like molds perfectly together.
It really does.
Everything just went really well. And you know, I think that's probably one of the better songs that we've ever written as a band, you know.
I mean,
and the thing is,
that goes back to, sorry, go ahead.
Fucking crazy drums,
dude.
You know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing. I was gonna circle back to that, because before I brought that song up, and I went off on a tangent about it because you brought up ballads. we were talking about your drums and the songwriting aspect of it. I think is where we were going. Is like, yeah, you guys have clearly over the years grown together as songwriters, and that drumming obviously tells that story to me. That's always the backbone of a band in so many ways. Everyone says it because, oh, it's who's holding the beat, who's holding that. To me, it's, can you see where that band has come from by their drumming in a lot of ways? Like, where did they start to evolve? And a lot of it is when you see their songwriting get to a certain point, you can hear it in the drums, where the drums are no longer, not in a bad way, but a little immature, and they're starting to mature. Then you can see the band as a whole, mm-hmm. is maturing as writers, and I think that is just kudos to you. Absolutely.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. And you know what, I think that could be said for a lot of the instruments, a lot of the instrumentation in music, you know. It's people don't, you stop playing for yourself and you start playing for the band, particularly the song. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about the overall success, you know. And it's like, I could fill a song with all this crap. Ben could fill it with all this guitar, and and Danny could just be wailing and just doing all this crap that's not fucking needed, you know? All five of us could do that. But at the end of the day, does that make a good song?
No, it does not necessarily. Not when, I mean, when you guys are sitting out and you're writing the songs that you want, you know, I'm sure when you guys made this transition that you guys did when you brought Danny back and you guys, now he's been on the last two records now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And that was obviously like, to me, it's always where I thought you guys were going before anyway, and before he stepped away or you guys had a falling out for a couple of years, whatever that was about. Yeah. But I always felt you guys were going to go in this direction anyways. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure you guys had a little backlash for that, but I mean, to me, knowing you guys, maybe just because I know you guys, I just always saw much bigger things than what was going before. So I.
Yeah, I mean, you've definitely, you and all the Avenged Boys have sort of seen us from the sideline. You know, I mean, you've witnessed a lot of stuff and you've helped us with shit, you know, so much in the past. It's you've got to like a little front seat, you know, the asking train and seeing some of the falls and the crashes. And hey, we bumped into the wall here, shit, you know.
We all have our bumps and scratches along the way. It's not always about the journey, right? It's where you end up.
Yeah. I mean, as long as you make it to where you
need to be. I kind of like flipped that, reverse that Willy Wonka style. So I'll let you go here in a second. Like a House on Fire is out right now. What is your favorite track on it right now? I know that's hard to say. You can't pick from all your babies, but for you specifically, not anything else. Like, what are you proud of the most? Or maybe it's not even a track. What are you proud of the most about this entire record? You talked about your evolution as a songwriter, as a drummer, as a band, as a whole. What specifically is it about this record that, what is the step that you guys took making this record that makes you the most proud?
I think honestly, this record is one of the first records that throughout all our career, we've just done the record that we want to do. We haven't really like, we've kind of, you know, we haven't done anything that we didn't want to do or had to do or appeased anyone. It was just like, this is the body of music that we want to release. And I'm really proud about that. And honestly, like us as a band and us as a group, we hit the 10-year mark, last year, and just seeing and just like, you know, and just like seeing, like, still being the best friends with my boys, you know what I mean? Like all five of these guys, and you know, it's so nice now, like, you know, Ben, Sam, Cam, like they're like right next to me, and it's just like we're still great friends that just love playing music together.
That's what it's all about, man.
Album number 6. And I think we've both seen quite a lot of bands that have had like horrible falling outs and they
yeah.
each other.
It just and I'm sucks, like, because you just don't know which ones are going to make it through those personal problems, you know?
And I feel like right now, you know, in 2020, through all of this craziness that's going on, we're in the best spot that our band's ever been in.
Yeah. I mean, that's fucking rad. You guys had your ups and downs, obviously. It's been 10 years. Mm-hmm. You're your sixth album. I believe this album is going to do really good. Great, even. I fucking think it's a great album. Everyone should go check out Like a House on Fire. It's out now everywhere you stream music. You could probably, even when the quarantine's over, pick up an album or two in a store, a little mom and pop next to you. But like everyone else, we're probably just going to stream it. And Asking Alexandria online is where do they go for social media and all of the above? James.
Yeah.
Where do they go? You got to plug this. Where is it? Is it Asking Alexandria everywhere on social media?
I would say that store.askingalexandria.com is like our actual store.
Rad.
If you want to find everything that with the Like a House on Fire, likeahouseonfire.co, that has everything that's around, you know, Europe, and we have like a bunch of other, you know, if you're from other territories and whatnot, and like the Zimpericon store and whatnot, that you can buy merch in like Germany and all that stuff. But yeah, it's just check us out. I mean, it's not difficult. You just type our name in online. You'll find it.
I mean, the internet, everyone knows how to use these days.
I'm sure internet, and I can find anything. So. Yeah.
And Castells, and your personal social medias, where are those? Is it at Castells?
At Castells, yeah. That's, and I'm pretty much only using Instagram because the rest of it's too confusing.
I only have that for my personal too, but everywhere else it's Drinks with Johnny on Facebook, and Twitter. Thank you so much for being on the show. We're going to have to do this deeper dive.
I want to know.
Yeah, we're going to do a deep dive in person. I'm going to get you drunk and find out everything there is to know about James Castells.
Hell yeah. Well, until that day though, I've got a little cheeky shot of vodka right here that. Cheers, Johnny.
Cheers, buddy. Thank you so much, man. Congrats on all your success and congrats to very much more. I'm sure you
will. Appreciate it, mate.
All right, man. I'm gonna let you take off. Everyone go check out Asking Alexandria, Like a House on Fire. Out now everywhere. It's a fucking fantastic record. You'll be doing yourself a favor. All right, man. We'll talk again soon, all right?
Hell yeah. Take it easy, mate. You have a good one. Thanks again.
All right, man. All right, everybody. That's gonna conclude this episode of Drinks with Johnny live at 5. I had a great time talking with James Castells of Asking Alexandria. As we plugged it numerous times, they got a new record out that just dropped on Friday. So make sure you go check that out. And if you're watching still, make sure you hit that subscribe button somewhere down here. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And I guess that's it. Till next time. Cheers.